Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Roberti, the content marketing expert, bringing you 5 new episodes every week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. Hello, Breakthrough Success listeners. I just wanted you all to know before the episode actually starts, I've been working a little bit behind the scenes to give you something really special. So a while ago, I wrote my book, Content Marketing Secrets, which helps people create, promote, and optimize their content for growth and revenue. And I just put the finishing touches together to offer that for free to anyone who is interested. So if you want your free copy of Content Marketing Secrets, all you have to do is head over to markgoberti.com/book. Now, let's jump right into the episode. Success happens outside of the comfort zone. It is something we know very well. It is something that not everyone wants to fully embrace. This whole idea of getting out of the comfort zone where all these great things happen. So that's why this episode is going to focus specifically on how exactly do you identify and get out of your comfort zone so you can pursue the big goals that you have for yourself. Today's guest is a professor at Brandeis University's International Business School with a joint appointment in the Department of Psychology. His work helps people learn how they can act outside of their comfort zones. His research and writing has been featured in places like the Harvard Business Review, Inc. Magazine, Psychology Today, the Financial Times, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, the Boston Globe, NPR, and Voice of America. He was also awarded as a top voice for LinkedIn for his work in education, and he is the author of 2 books, Global Dexterity and Reach. Today's guest for episode 199 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Andy Molinsky. Andy, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Andy, I'm really looking forward to this show. Comfort zone being such an important thing because we all know that success does happen outside of the comfort zone. But when it comes to taking that leap out of it, it just seems so difficult to do so. That's why I'm really looking forward to this episode. But before we go into all that fun stuff, I'm wondering if you could give us some backstory. So what first got you into helping people get out of their comfort zones?
Yeah, so I came at it, I think, through just my own life experience. I think probably stepping outside my comfort zone for the first time in a big way was living abroad for the first time. I lived in Spain and then I lived in France. And I think that really inspired me in my early 20s to be interested in the idea of crossing cultures and stepping outside your cultural comfort zone. That inspired me to get a PhD in the sort of area of organizational behavior and social psychology, ultimately do a bunch of research, become a professor, and write my first book on global dexterity, about stepping outside your cultural comfort zone. I saw so many people struggling to do it. I had struggled to do it, and I had learned a lot about it, so I wanted to share what I had learned. That book then, in the aftermath of that book, inspired me to write a second book, which is called Reach, which came out last year, about stepping outside your comfort zone, period. And so that's I think, the way that I got into it.
And it's a really how you got into it first, like just stuff that you saw in your life and you jumping out of your comfort zone. And then you saw that feeling and you wanted to help other people achieve that success where they are jumping out of their comfort zone and they're pursuing their goals, they're pursuing new experiences. But that main theme of being like getting outside of the comfort zone, and I'm wondering if you could share with us a few pointers on how we can do that.
Yeah, so in my book Reach, that's exactly what the book's about. And so for the book, I spoke with all. So first of all, I teach and train and coach people how to do this. But I also did interviews with about 70 to 75 people from a variety of different professions, managers, executives, entrepreneurs. But then I expanded to doctors, police officers, therapists, actors, students, priests, rabbis, like all sorts of people in all sorts of situations. And then the situations are all varied as well. So for some people, it was making small talk with someone they didn't know. Some people, it was making a sale. Some people, it was pitching and promoting themselves at networking events or public speaking, lots of different situations. And so I could bring you through what I found, just kind of give you the top line basics. Maybe we should start with why it's so hard. That was one of the big orienting questions I had. And that is a tip that helps people step outside their comfort zone, because it starts to give them a language to understand, why is this so hard for me? And what I found there is that there are five core challenges people face, psychological roadblocks, you could call them. The first being authenticity, the idea that this doesn't feel like me, or I'm worried this won't feel like me. Likeability, the fear that people won't like this version of me. If, for example, I step up and act more assertively than I'm used to, gosh, what if people don't like the assertive version of me, for example? Competence. You've got authenticity, likability, and competence. What if I'm bad at this? And what if I know people are going to see me as bad at this? Resentment. Sometimes people feel resentful. They have to step outside their comfort zone in the first place. Logically, they get it maybe, but psychologically, they think to themselves, you know, why can't I just do what I always did? Why do I have to do this to get ahead, let's say? And then morality. Occasionally, not always, but occasionally, stepping outside your comfort zone might feel wrong. Like, actually, I start my book, Reach. I have a story at the very beginning of the book of a young entrepreneur who started a company outside her comfort zone and ultimately had to fire her best friend after a couple of months on the job. And that was a threat for her to her sense of morality. In some way, she felt she was doing something wrong. So the point here, and I'll end in a sec, is that you're not going to experience every one of these challenges every time you step outside your comfort zone. But even one of them can make it hard and can make you one of the great avoidance mechanisms, the avoidance strategies that I enumerate in the book and that all of us are probably familiar with.
And you gave that really interesting example of like having to fire a friend. I mean, there are like so many different things we do that push us outside of our comfort zone. Some of those things towards success, others like they do get you to success, but they involve making a really hard decision, such as that decision that you mentioned earlier. And one of the things about the comfort zone is that I feel like once you get out of the comfort zone, it can still come calling you back. And it can still be very enticing. So how can we stay focused when we are outside of the comfort zone without getting lured over back by our comfort zone?
Yeah, so I should say also, by the way, that I don't want listeners to feel like, gosh, is he saying that you have to step outside your comfort zone all the time in every situation? Because I definitely don't think that's the case. In fact, I write for Harvard Business Review, and I wrote a recent article about just that, you know, sometimes you want to stay right in your comfort zone. I mean, I think we have a variety of different situations and moments in our lives, and I think we probably want to pick our spots. So, but in terms of success, like what enables people to successfully step outside their comfort zone, or as you say, not veer back, I found three key sort of tools, you could call them, that distinguish people who use these tools were generally more successful than those who weren't. The first is conviction. That's really important. That's a deep sense of purpose, sort of in why this matters to you. Not a superficial sense of purpose, but a deep sense of purpose. Like why does it matter to you? That for you to do this thing, by the way, that's against the grain of your personality, that's against the grain of your habit, that makes you feel uncomfortable. Like, what's in it for you at a deeper level? And identifying that can be very important. It can be like an antidote to avoidance. And it doesn't erase the discomfort you experience, but it can give you that motivation, that drive, that sort of sense of purpose to take action despite discomfort. And by the way, that's what courage is. Courage isn't the absence of fear. It's the ability to take action in the presence of fear. And so find and embrace your source of conviction. That's the first thing I found that was really critical.
And when we do that, it's easier to stay focused. And there is this idea of like, with courage, I completely agree. It's not in the absence of fear. There is that fear around you, but you do just power through. And one of the things about powering through outside of the comfort zone is that not everything is always going to go smoothly. There are going to be some good days. There are going to be some bad days. And there are some bad days where you may, like the next time you return to your comfort zone and you need to push out again, you may be wondering, should I really be doing this? Think about this thing that happened to me before. And part of being able to embrace the challenge, embrace the setback, is being able to rise above that with resilience and confidence. So I'm wondering, how can we build resilience and confidence so that if something bad happens when we go outside of our comfort zones, then the next opportunity we have to do so, we're still able to go outside of our comfort zones?
Yeah, so that's where a couple of the other tools come into play. The second one, which I think does relate directly to what you're talking about in terms of resilience, is what I called customization. And this is something I found with so many people that I've worked with and that I interviewed. And it's really cool, actually. What people discover is that there's no one-size-fits-all version of stepping outside your comfort zone in a particular situation, and that you have more power than you think to actually tweak, personalize, put your own little spin on whatever it is you're doing to make it feel that's outside your comfort zone, to make it feel just a little bit more comfortable for you. And I saw so many people customizing in all sorts of ways. It was really exciting to see, changing their body language, changing, maybe using, scripting out some actual verbal language, something that feels a little bit more comfortable to them, a catchphrase, maybe an initial entree into a situation. Sometimes people use props, like literally a prop, like an actor, like wearing a power suit or a lucky charm. I actually used to speak whenever I was afraid of public speaking early in my career, and I used to wear a special ring every time I spoke in public, and the ring had a certain meaning to me. It turns out that the stone in the ring was a stone that my great uncle had found in the World War II when he was in the Navy in the beaches of the South Pacific, and he brought the stone back, and you know that ring ultimately came to represent courage to me. And when I wore it, it just gave me like a little sense like, if he could do that, you know, I can go up there and speak. So it wasn't like a magic formula, but it nudged me a little bit. And so that's an example of a prop. Timing, you can play with timing sometimes to your advantage. If you're afraid of big, loud, noisy networking events, go early, right? Go at the very beginning. It's going to be less big. It's going to be less loud. It's going to be less noisy. And you might start to be able to build up a little bit of confidence by doing that. My point is that however you do it, and I talk in my book, Reach, I give people all in that book, I give tons of tools and resources to kind of come up with your own custom version of customization. But it's a super powerful way of building the resilience that you're talking about.
And I really like that idea of, like, in the networking event, an example, showing up a little earlier. I mean, like, there are a few different things you could do to build up your confidence for when you need to have it at that critical moment, like being on that stage speaking. So, like, sometimes it's better to just view the small things you could do to boost your confidence instead of being focused on this one result that or this one behavior or action that you must achieve. And now boost your confidence. So it's good to do a few little things along the way.
Yeah, like I think a lot of people actually sometimes feel powerless when they're outside their comfort zone, or they if indeed they you know they worry, they feel powerless. But what I think this shows is you have more power than you think.
Yeah, I really do believe that, and that goes for all of us. I feel like we all underestimate ourselves to a certain degree, some more than others. But that theme of underestimating ourselves is definitely a constant for many people. And I feel like when we do underestimate ourselves, that hurts our ability to live up to our full potential, because we are thinking and living a lesser version than what we truly are. And I'm wondering, what else do you believe holds us back from reaching our full potential, achieving our goals, and ultimately getting out of the comfort zone?
I think there's one more key tool that I found, which was, I called it clarity. And it was the idea that I think a lot of people, again, emotions, you know, take hold when we're stepping outside our comfort zone, especially fear and anxiety. And I think when people feel fear and anxiety, which, by the way, is pretty natural in these situations, that fear and anxiety can cause people to do what psychologists call catastrophizing, kind of thinking of the worst case and almost assigning on some level implicitly a very high probability that that worst case is going to happen. You know, like if you're public speaking, like, you know, worrying you're going to faint on stage, you're going to make a complete fool of yourself, and therefore you're not going to do it. Or opposite extreme and say, I'm only doing this if I could, you know, be the best TED talker out there immediately. And, you know, it's like we don't have a realistic middle ground perspective. And what clarity is it's the ability to sort of step back, take that perspective, normalize your reaction, and say to yourself, in this context, for example, like, you know, yeah, I don't have to be the best TED talker, and I'm probably also not going to faint on stage. I mean, I'll probably have some good moments and some maybe less good moments, and I'll bet you I'll learn a ton, and the next time I do it, it'll get even better. And just like any task or skill that I'm trying to get better at. And, you know, that sort of even-handed perspective that people I felt was really important when stepping outside your comfort zone.
And those are a lot of key things that we implement those. That's what's going to help us to get out of our comfort zones more and also unlock our full potential, because I do just want to reemphasize that theme that I do feel like a lot of us, we undervalue ourselves. And the more you realize your greatness, the easier it'll be for you to get out of your comfort zone and do the things that you want to do.
I agree. I think that's sort of like becoming the best version of ourselves and trying to use what we have inside of us to overcome some of those barriers. And I think what I found, and this is really key actually, is that these tools I'm talking about, what they do and what they can do is they can nudge you to try something. That's the key. Actually trying it is the key, because when you try something outside your comfort zone, if you're able to sort of find your source of conviction, to customize the situation, to make it a little bit more comfortable, to try to nudge yourself towards a sense of clarity, what you're going to find when you try it, whatever it is that you're probably going to discover, like all the people I've worked with, or most of the people I've worked with, that it's not as hard as you thought it was, and that you're probably a little bit better at it than you thought you were. And when you can have that sort of like sense of learning about yourself, that self-realization, that's tremendously powerful. That'll will you to try it again. But the only way you're ever going to have that learning is to actually try something. And so that's why all my sort of tools and techniques are oriented towards nudging people to give something a shot, to avoid avoidance in a sense.
And I really like that idea of just a nudge. It's not like change your life immediately after listening to this episode. It's just giving yourself that little nudge, just doing one thing different, just doing one thing right now that pushes you a little more out of your comfort zone. So when you need to get out of your comfort zone, you're easily able to make that adjustment. And one of the things that comes with the boundary outside of the comfort zone are going to be some of the challenges that we face along the way. And the way we power through these challenges has an impact on how far out of our comfort zones we can go. So with challenges in mind, Andy, I'm wondering if you could share with us one big challenge you faced in your journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
Sure. Let's go back to public speaking, because I think that was a big one for me earlier in my career. About 20 years ago, maybe a little longer than that, I was really, really uncomfortable public speaking, especially in front of a corporate audience. And it's funny, nowadays I do a lot of corporate speaking, keynotes and training and so on, and I really like it. But back then, I felt really self-conscious about it, uncomfortable about speaking in public, uncomfortable that I, almost like an imposter, did I have anything to offer? Why would they possibly want to hear from me and so on? So that's a good example of something that was outside my comfort zone. I also was avoiding it. I'd be asked by companies early on in my career because I was a professor at a business school, and I don't think they thought I was so great, but they were looking for someone to speak, let's say, and I happened to fit the bill, and I would avoid it. I'd say I wasn't available when I probably was. And so over time, I was able to, like when I reflect back, I was able to apply these tools, the ones that we just talked about, you know, customization. I would wear that ring. Whenever I would give a speech, I would always go early. I'd go early to actually meet a couple of people, so that when I ultimately spoke to that audience, it wasn't a group of unfamiliar, scary people. It was a group of unfamiliar people, but a couple people I'd already met. You know, there were a variety of things that I would do to sort of nudge myself and feel a little bit more comfortable doing it. I also focused on conviction, on what was in it for me to do this. And in my case, it was that as an academic, as a professor, I didn't only want to speak and write to other academics and scholars in the ivory tower. I wanted to step outside and make a difference in the world. And that was really important to me. In fact, that's why I got into the profession to begin with. So I applied the same things that we're talking about. I didn't think of it that way back then. I hadn't written the book. But in retrospect, I see that's exactly what I did.
And I really like that idea of how you tapped into your reason, your why for basically getting out of the comfort zone, this big task in front of you, the speaking, the spreading your message to more people, getting out of those ivory towers. So like if we tap into our reason, our why, that alone is gonna have a really big effect on us. And something else that will have a big effect on us is acquiring as much knowledge as possible. And you guys at home are doing a really amazing job of doing that by listening to this episode, and I'm sure like other episodes and audiobooks as well. But with knowledge acquisition in mind, Andy, I'm wondering if you could share with us three great books that you believe will have a positive impact on us.
Let's see. I can think of two right away. These are books that I found really influential for me early on, and that I've always gone to, both in terms of how to do these things well, but also in terms of how to write books. I love the book Difficult Conversations by Doug Stone and Sheila Heen, and Getting to Yes is the book that came before that about how to negotiate successfully. And what I love about both of those books is they sort of dive and step into the inner world of the negotiator, sort of behind the curtain, understanding the challenges, psychological challenges that one faces when trying to either have a difficult conversation or negotiate successfully. And I guess that's really my approach too, in Reach and Global Dexterity, to sort of step inside the experience of the person trying to do something. And give them tips and insights to be able to manage that experience successfully. So those are two. I'd have to think of a third. Doesn't come to mind right off the bat, but those are two really strong ones.
Andy, thank you for those great book recommendations. For anyone looking to get those links in the show notes, those would be markaberry.com/E199. And I'll just throw in a third book in there for anyone who is interested in a book that can help them create, promote, and optimize their content for growth and revenue. You can grab my book, Content Marketing Secrets, over at markgaberty.com/book. And before we wrap up this episode, Andy, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
I think we need to ask ourselves, in a situation that where it might be outside our comfort zone, where we might be scared to do something, ask yourself if you had a sort of magic eraser and you were able to erase for a moment the anxiety and fear associated with that situation, would you still want to do it? Is that something that would be helpful for you and your growth and your career? And if the answer is yes, well, then I think you want to pick up my book, Reach. You want to start to understand how to step outside your comfort zone and apply some of the tools. But if the answer is no, it's really interesting, because then you can cut through the anxiety and say, this is not a situation I want to dedicate this, you know, my efforts towards in terms of learning to step outside my comfort zone. So I find that a very good question to try to isolate sort of fear from motivation and interest.
Andy, thank you for sharing with us that great question, all of your great insights throughout our time together. Breakthrough Success listeners, if you want to learn more about Andy and stay in touch with him, you can head over to andymolinsky.com. That will be in the show notes. And don't forget to grab your copies of his two books, Global Dexterity and Reach. Andy, I can't thank you enough for sharing all of your great insights with us. It was such a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success.
Thanks so much for having me on.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn